The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Photos in the front of the Irish Times of Simon Harris and New Zealand fans. Everybody flocked to the game to go canvass the game.
Genuinely convinced there was more canvassers and politicians there than rugby players last night. They just hit it up straight away. It was always going to be first stop. Actually, the second time that Simon Harris and Michael D. Higgins met that day, the first being in the Oris to dissolve the Dáil, the second being, how are you? Let's watch the match, you know, a bit strange. But they were straight out on the canvas. Like, I say straight out on the canvas and everyone was like, oh, the firing gun has started, as if they haven't been doing this for 2 weeks already. It's been flat to the mat and it's going to pick up and continue today.
But there is a greater alacrity with which posters are going up. They no longer have to have a little sticker saying it's a public meeting. They can actually admit it's an electoral
poster. I came out of Greystones this morning and every single poster was Simon Harris everywhere. Like the teams, where his team got all the prime spots early on. I wonder why. It's almost as if he knew this was coming. And the others, it was just mad to see them around yesterday at Merrion Square just after the Dáil was dissolved. There was this big, massive Sinn Féin poster bus, you know, one of those with it at a time for a change of government, at about 20 metres away. Jim O'Callaghan was helping someone put up a ladder to put up his own posters with Micheál Martin's face next to his as well, which I'm sure he's delighted about on the poster. So they're out and about. You won't be able to escape them for the next while. The teams, as I was driving in this morning, were everywhere getting their posters and the faces up.
And as well as posters going up, they are starting to lay out manifestos and promises. And promises so far totting up to, I think, nearly £1 billion from Fine Gael.
Just in one morning, €800 million. Yes, so this is the launch. They're doing a business launch this morning, effectively acting as the campaign launch for the Taoiseach in Dublin. One of the big things that I think will catch a lot of businesses' eyes is they are going to promise to reduce the 13.5% VAT rate to 11% on food, catering, entertainment and hairdressing services. Basically, the thing that the industry was absolutely crying out for in advance of the budget that they didn't do in the budget. And now they're promising that they will do it along with extra supports.
Now, in your view, is that... was that a cynical decision to hold it back so that it could be an election promise? Or is it a belief that an extra year before the next budget comes around gives them wiggle room?
It's a strange one because it was the money ministers who were sort of pushing back on this. And to my knowledge, it was Pascal Donoghue who had a problem in that the proposal was for an entire industry-wide one, and then other parts of that industry were calling to separate it out for food and drink. And the problem was with hotels, because hotels have been seen to be gouging and they didn't want to give them a tax break on the back of that. So it's a strange one now for Fine Gael to come out and say, oh yeah, no, actually, we're going to do this thing that we didn't do a couple of months ago and were in favour of. Perhaps there was more coalition tension to it than I know about, but they're certainly committing it there. And I think you're going to see this. It's part of the problem for the government parties is anything they promise now, people are going to look and say, well, you just spent €110 billion in a budget. Why didn't you do it then? You've been in government for 13 years. Why didn't you do it then? And all these new ideas sort of fall a little bit flat. Some of the other plans in their business thing, a new Energy Plus grant scheme for small retail and hospitality businesses, another one to reduce businesses' payroll costs to a PSRI rebate for small and medium enterprises. And what they will say, I suppose, is in response to what I've just said, this is post-Trump. So this is, we are going to get a shock to the Irish economy because of Trump. Now we need more supports for small and medium enterprises. And the calculus that we had 3 weeks ago has to be thrown out and turned around a little bit.
Surely if you're doing calculus 3 weeks ago when you have an election coming up that we know is going to be a close run thing, you run both sets of potential numbers, no?
You do. You run both scenarios. I think the hope was there that it would be a Kamala Harris victory and that wouldn't matter. But that's the spin they'll put on it. Whether people believe that or not, that's up to them.
What then of Sinn Féin? Lovely pictures of the Sinn Féin front bench walking down, I think it's Merrion Square, all looking happy and sunny. Mm. And Mary Lou quoted on the front of the Irish Times saying that the government parties should not think the election is going to be a foregone conclusion. This is going to be an interesting one to watch.
It is, and I think she's actually right. In many ways, what's been happening over the last couple of weeks really reminds me of 2020, when people were told going in, well, it's definitely going to be Taoiseach Leo Varadkar or Taoiseach Micheál Martin, and that's it. And the first debate on Virgin Media was just between those two, and there was a big kick-up. And people don't like being told who they're going to vote for and what an outcome is going to be. And it is very rare that the expected outcome heading into a general election ends up being the one that comes out. I mean, I started the predictions podcast with Ivan Yates calling it yesterday. We started doing the first constituencies, and I was looking back at the predictions from 2020, and I think he had Fianna Fáil getting 60 seats, which they came nowhere near, and the campaign obviously totally changed tack during that. But there is also a sense from Sinn Féin, they are more confident than you would expect them to be, due to a number of factors. One being, the controversies are out there, and they think they've kind of run their course, and now we get into a campaign where you talk about the issues, and on the issues, they're pretty solid. They have a plan, they have policies, they've been out there for a while, they can debate them back and forward. And just this sense that if there is an anti-government vote, yes, in the early rounds of counts, it will clarify around, you know, some smaller independents, right-wing candidates or whatever. And as they eliminate, they will go towards Sinn Féin rather than going back to the government. And so the seats that you might have seen as unsafe could be there. Mary Lou McDonald this morning is going to be in Waterford in Dungarvan, where they genuinely feel they can pick up an extra seat through Conor McGuinness, who's the candidate out there on top of David Cullinan. So they're putting resources early on into those, into one constituency, I suppose, where they have a chance. She's then going to South Tipperary and Kilkenny, where they both have a chance of losing a seat. So there's the flip side for Sinn Féin.
And obviously one of the issues that will be central in the campaign is one where they feel they are on very solid ground, which is that of housing, mm-hmm. because they've released that 100 and something page, very detailed housing strategy that Owen O'Brien developed. That's already an issue. That's already focus of some giveaways. Talk of further investment in the shared equity scheme from both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael.
Yeah, so this is basically more investment. It comes down to the approach that you want to take, I think, broadly. If you're looking at where the left-wing parties stand and where the government stands, some, like the government, Stephen Harris has said it would be a red line. The Help to Buy scheme absolutely has to stay. The 30 grand that people get back into their pockets, whereas other parties have all promised Labour, Sinn Féin and others to phase it out, that all it did was ever push up house prices. So it's going to come down to the approach. Do you put more investment into social housing and affordable housing and actually building them on the ground, or do you put money back into people's pockets to help them reach the higher cost of the houses there at the moment? That's almost the ideological split between the big two government parties and the left.
Now, in terms of the election campaign itself, in your view, how literally effective is it? At this point, given that we've had 5 years of government, given that a lot of the issues that will be part of the campaign have been thrashed out, has everybody made up their mind, or is there a floating vote out there to be persuaded in the next 3 weeks?
I think there is, and the data from the local and European elections, the Electoral Commission did in its exit poll, said that a lot of people didn't make up their mind. I think it was 25% of people didn't make up their mind until the last 24 to 48 hours. So there was a huge amount of people who aren't like us and obsessing about all of this for 3 weeks. Normal people is what I'm talking about, Anton, who have businesses and jobs to be going to, who will decide when they sit down at the end of it or when they go into the polling booth where they're going to go. So there absolutely is a role for the campaign. The campaign could change things massively. It didn't. 2020 is probably the biggest example of that, where it totally upended the result. And a strong campaign one way or the other, particularly in a short, sharp campaign like this, 3 weeks will fly by, absolutely. With a lack of television debates as well, there's only going to be, as far as I know, one TV debate with the three main leaders, and that's going to be in the last week of the campaign. The other TV debate will be with 10 parties, so we're going to learn very little from that, because you just don't have the time to properly scrutinise them, even if it's over an hour and a half or 2 hours. So there is every chance that it, particularly for Sinn Féin, if they put in a good ground game in the early couple of weeks, can get over the controversies and the mess and have them in the frame, and then Mary Lou McDonald has a good, strong, swinging debate in the last week, that it will change opinion. So I definitely think there's a certain amount who will always just vote the way they're going to vote, and that's that. That's fine. The campaign could change everything and make us all look like fools for predictions at the moment.
Presumably from Sinn Féin and Mary Lou McDonald's perspective, that debate will be an exercise in shooting fish in a barrel, because Micheál Martin and Simon Harris will have to be very careful about how aggressively they take each other on, and she will be able to do the thing of, as God made you, he matched you.
Well, it's fascinating from a presenter's point of view, or the host, because it's sort of a two-on-one, isn't it? So the host will have the job of being
the blockbuster
in the
debate.
Middle. Yeah, exactly. Now, please, can you two of you stop whacking the crap out of Mary Lou there for a second, because I need to put some focus back onto you. And that could very well play to her advantage, where it seems like everybody is ganging up on Mary Lou McDonald and Sinn Féin and trying to kick them when they're down, and that they took advantage of the Sinn Féin malaise at the moment by calling the election early when they had said they were going to go to February in the first place. You can see how the narrative builds for her.
We've talked a bit about the three large parties. Then let's have a look at some of the smaller ones. This is by electoral and poll support. The one, obviously, that has the single biggest issue globally that it could be representing, but that it has never been able to make convert into electoral support, the Green Party. Is this going to be the election where finally people associate them with climate change and race towards them?
No. So the Green Party, I am not in the camp of the Green Party is going to be totally wiped out. I don't think that is going to be the case. I think they'll come back with 5 or 6 seats, but they're all going to be a fight. There is no safe Green Party seat in the country, in my view. Even Roger O'Gorman's and Catherine Martin's are both difficult constituencies, even though they should hold on. But they do, if you look at the local elections, as much as they lost councillors, there are core votes there in some of them. If you look at Patrick Costello's seat, he has a great councillor under him, and Michael Pidgeon, who got a big whack of votes. If you look at the likes of Dunleary, where Oisín Smith will be in a fight, but they did quite well. Hazel Chew in Dublin Bay South, where she's fighting to retain Eamon Ryan's seat. They had a really strong local elections. Both her and Claire Byrne topped the poll in their respective wards. So it it will be very difficult for the Greens outside of Dublin. That's just going to be a really big battle for any of them to hold on their seats. But in Dublin, yeah, there's five or six of them that could hold on.
What then about Labour? It is a long time, or rather it is a long way, since Gilmore for Taoiseach.
It is. But Labour has this machine as if it was still a big party. So the behind-the-scenes organisation, when it comes into a campaign like this, is really good for the Labour Party. And when they're out canvassing and when they're putting stuff together, it's just a professional operation due to decades of institutional experience. And I think actually Labour will gain seats in this election. They will. They sort of have gotten over the toxicity that was there in 2014 and 2016. Of course, there will still be a cohort of people who will just never vote for them because they're Labour and they might go to the Sock Dems or Sinn Féin or wherever, but they have a good chance in a number of constituencies. And talking about Kildare South, where they could pick up a seat, they could return the Sean Sherlock seat in Cork North Central. There are other ones in Dublin where they are looking again. So Labour had a pretty good local elections, held almost all their seats, and could be a dark horse here for being the third leg of the stool on a government.
We talked earlier on about, this is a while ago, you said that you sort of wave goodbye to the family and you disappear for 3 weeks and then you return at the end of it all. Do you know what's ahead of you today?
So today we have the big business launch, as I mentioned, for Fine Gael. They are launching that this morning with the Taoiseach in Dublin. He's then hitting the road. He plans to do 500 kilometres of canvas shoe leather across the east, south, east and south, is the way his campaign are putting it. Mary Lou McDonald, as I said,
he's
is going to
walk
Waterford.
500 kilometres.
He's going to walk those shoes out. Well, have you seen him? He might well do it. He's going to certainly hit a lot of road this morning. Mary Lou McDonald is doing the same. She is hitting the southeast. Both kind of interesting that that's where they start, that there's just seats up for play there. And then of all things, Micheál Martin is opening a Pamela Scott in Douglas Village Shopping Centre this morning at 11 a.m. if you want to see him. And he's then heading out to Cork East, which is a fascinating constituency, canvassing with there too. Of course, the other parties are all scattered across the country. So going to be a busy few weeks on the road and in here and predicting and doing all that sort of stuff, but we love it. Let's not pretend we don't.
I feel I should know the answer to this, but what's a Pamela Scott?
I got it confused this morning when I was on the way in. I don't actually know. Is it makeup? I thought I got it very wrong this morning and said to someone it was Vera Wang he was opening, which is very obviously not the case.
In a tone that says, you're an idiot, I've just been told in my ear it's a clothes shop.
Right, okay. So it's not Penny's, it's not H&M. We wouldn't be familiar.
Apologies to Pamela Scott for not knowing this. Sean, thank you very much. We will hope to get you in contact with your family at some point in the coming days. That is Sean Defoe, our political correspondent.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.